You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a post-game edition of Locked On Jaguars. I'm Tony Wiggins, along with Phillip Cruz, who will chime in. And let's get right down to it. Josh Allen is a super freak.
Put him in Canton, Wig.
That's right. You heard it from me. He is a super freak. Now, I want to temper this a little bit. The Dolphins line had two rookies in the interior. Then they had some people that were on the outside that aren't really household names. So you would expect him to dominate. But I'm going to give you a compare and contrast. You would also expect Taven Bryan to dominate. He was lined up on the side of a Calhoun kid who wasn't even drafted, and he didn't dominate. Josh Allen was a monster last night. I've often talked about him being similar to Myles Garrett, and that's exactly what he is. Although Josh Allen does most of his damage from the left side of the defensive line. It's now starting to come into fruition for me that you're going to have to get him on the field. You're going to have to get Yannick on the field. The Jaguars are doing some things that it appears that you won't just see that base four and then every now and then you see another guy that'll spell somebody. I think they have a ton of packages that they're implementing and putting in. So we're getting a lot of questions answered by just watching the starting lineup go through their dress rehearsal last night. When we talked about whether they were going to run a hybrid, nope, they're a 4-3 team. Guess what they kind of did last night? They kind of ran a hybrid because there were times when Yannick Ngakoue was standing next to Josh Allen. Josh Allen had his hand in the ground. Yannick Ngakoue was standing inside of Josh Allen, and they stunned it on the one play that everybody keeps putting on social media where he went right up the middle. The middle cleared because Yannick Ngakoue came around on the other side. The right tackle kind of released off of Josh Allen before the guard could engage. And what happened was the right tackle saw Yannick on the outside. One of those guys was going to get that sack. That's what Todd Walsh meant, in my opinion, when he said there are certain things that we need Yannick here to do because they're designed for him. So what happens is if the right tackle stays engaged with Josh Allen at that point, what you're going to see happen is Yannick gets that sack as opposed to Josh Allen getting the knockdown on Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's how this works. I tell you who, he doesn't necessarily cloud the picture up, but he definitely gives me a sense of hope that the Jaguars are hell-bent that they're never going to get tired on the defensive line. If you recall, in 2017 when they made their run, they couldn't get Tom Brady off the field, and no one could get a rush because one guy got banged up, another guy was tired, and as much as they had all of those sacks that year, they were tired late in the fourth quarter. That'll never happen again with their rotation. Dewan Smoot, a guy that when we did our 53, I had him cut. Yeah, well, that ain't going to happen. And Phil said that it wouldn't. Phil, go ahead and chime in, man. I think they're loaded up on the defensive line.
Yeah, I do too. And I think if I were the Jaguars and I were Dave Caldwell, and Tom Coughlin, I would be trying to shop Dewan Smoot it's hard to say Taven Bryan too, just because it's still only his second year. But as happy as you should be about watching Josh Allen absolutely stunt on everybody last night, you should be equally, perturbed and alarmed that Taven looks the way he does, man. Like, it seems to me like it's just not going to get better with him. And because, quite frankly, this isn't a guy that was out of this world in college and then, you know, the Jags got him in the first round and he just hasn't been able to put it together in the pros. This was my evaluation of him from the gate, like from Florida. Like, he is exactly who I thought he was, and I don't think it's going to develop. It's hard to say that, and it's kind of hypocritical because a lot of people are saying, including myself, about Dewan Smoot, the same things, that okay, we get it, it's not going to happen. It's, you know, year four or whatever it is, or three or four with Dewan Smoot, and he hasn't been able to make any impact type of plays. And all of a sudden, now you're seeing a rededication and everything like that. But the Jags don't have time for Taven Bryan to get off the video game chair and put his face in the playbook and make more of an impact. They need that now. The window is open right now. And right now, he causes them to have a tough decision between Dayton Jones or you know, DeJuan Smoot or him, or keeping 10 defensive linemen, which they'll probably end up doing. But if you do that, then you really end up cutting somewhere else on the team that doesn't deserve it. And it's not a great situation to have.
All right, more meat on the bone on this, so we won't bury the lead with this. We're going to talk about it on the other side. Let's take a quick break on Locked On Jaguars, and when we return, we'll continue to talk the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive line.
Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but we have over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite ones too. So don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash, and right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code Locked On. I think I'm going to do that myself. Again, promo code Locked On when you download the DoorDash app. $5 off $15 or more. My fantasy football draft is complete. I feel really good about it. I feel really good about it because I was able to listen to Vinny Iyer on Locked On Fantasy Football and I get some good scoops. I got Zach Ertz. I got Michael Thomas. I'm looking forward to this season, and I thank Vinny for the information that he's given me listening to that pod.
All right. Yeah, get on that. My fantasy football draft is Sunday. I'm going to have to do it from a remote location in Fort Lauderdale, but I will be able to pick the guys that I want. I believe I'll get them all. Looking at last night, we'll talk about some guys that look like they're going to be fantasy football studs for this team. For right now, we're going to stay on the Jaguars defense. The difference between DeJuan Smoot's career path and the one that we see Taven Bryan was never very productive in college. DeJuan Smoot was like an All-American at Illinois.
Yeah, and he never came off the field, too. There was one game at Illinois, Wig, where he played 85 snaps.
Yep.
As a defensive end.
Yep, and he was one of the best defensive ends in the Big Ten. So the difference is you saw all of that production, and then he gets into the NFL, and then you say, okay, is there a huge, huge upside? And I'll give Steve White credit. Steve White, former Bucks defensive lineman, who's a writer, and I can't remember who he writes for. I think it's Roto World or something like that, but it used to be SB Nation. But he wrote up on DeJuan Smoot, and I kind of disagreed with him because I'm saying, well, there's a whole bunch of guys in front of him, including Laurente McCray. I think Laurente McCray, though, is a special teams demon, and he's really, really also a guy who is going to be that stand-up guy. You noticed last night sometimes they'd have, most of the times, three down linemen, and then you'd have an end sort of in a stand-up position. It's almost like the way the Baltimore Ravens play. And that's why I think with the way that they play and the way guys line up, eventually you're going to see, and I don't mean in nickel, I mean eventually you're going to see this. You're going to see Josh Allen. You're going to see Calais Campbell, Marcel Darius, and Yannick Ngakoue. And then you'll start rotating your guys in. And the guys that you're going to rotate in are DeJuan Smoot. You're going to rotate in Avery Jones.
Dayton Jones.
Yeah, those seven guys are going to be those guys. The Jaguars are going to put a lot of pressure on a lot of people, man. That's why I think it's also important to get Quincy Williams back and get him healthy, because that speed on that second level, it really helps when they're able to string things out.
You know what, Wig? You said something a few shows ago that I know a lot of people might have thought was crazy. But granted, maybe they keep, you know, 10 defensive linemen. But if that's the case, what you just said with the seven guys, maybe Taven does end up inactive a lot.
I think he will. I don't think you can justify. Look, man, we saw body language when Blake was at quarterback. I have inside information that tells me that last year when the argument happened between Yannick Ngakoue and Marion Hobby, that the reason why it happened was because of Taven Bryant being on the field in a critical situation. Of all people, Dante Fowler tried to restrain Yannick. Let's think about that. You're trying to restrain the guy that basically took your lunch money because you got hurt. And there are a lot of people that asked me this question, too, while I'm on that subject last night. Does this hurt Yannick Ngakoue's negotiation at all? No, it absolutely doesn't, and it shouldn't, unless someone wants to try to play the leverage game. Or to try, and you don't want to start saying, well, that's what a franchise guy looks like. See, he's bigger, he does this, whatever. Yannick Ngakoue has more than shown this football team, this organization, and people around the league who he is and what he is. You're now more justified to pay Yannick Ngakoue his money because you have Josh Allen on a rookie deal for the next 5 years. It makes absolute total sense at this point. It's not like you got to pay Josh Allen next year, okay, and you got to make a choice. It makes absolute sense at this point. The reason why they were able to go out and sign Calais Campbell is because Yannick Ngakoue was on a rookie deal. That's the way this works. The reason why they were able to go get Malik Jackson is because a lot of these guys are on rookie deals that they had.
A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey.
It's the reason they were able. That's right. The reason why Boye can make his money is because Jalen Ramsey's on a rookie deal. This is the way this works. This is a reason right now, if I'm Ari Nassum at Roc Nation, I'm saying, okay, now you got your book in. Calais is 33. Move Calais inside. This is where you get Darius Calais to start giving you some relief on cap money because they both have made a lot of money. Marcel Darius is the richest guy on that team, or maybe Nick Foles is now. But prior to Nick Foles coming here, Marcel Darius was the richest guy on that team because of the money that he's gotten. This is where if you want to keep it going, you give these guys a little guaranteed money to lower their cap number and say, hey, man, I'm gonna take that at 91. You could essentially have these guys for the next 3 years and then start adding pieces and keeping and retaining Miles Jack as long as he plays well this year and doing some things in the secondary. And you got your safeties. You got one on a rookie deal, another one on a pretty decent second contract, but it looks like a guy who's a second or a third round pick. This team is more equipped right now to give two or three guys big money than most people believe, and it's because of what you perceive Josh Allen to be. Now, I will say this, temper it a little bit, because that wasn't Trent Williams, that wasn't Jason Peters or Lane Johnson. That wasn't Tyron Armstead. It wasn't Tyron Smith. He's got a learning curve. When he runs into those guys, this won't be that easy. He was basically playing against rookies and backups last night. And when I say he, I mean Josh Allen. But that gets to the point that you made, Phil. So was Taven Bryant. And Taven Bryant is in his second year.
Yeah.
I really, really hate to say this. When you see a guy getting desperate to make plays and to do the things that he did last night that hurt this football team, and you saw the body language of some guys, Jalen included, when you see guys trying to make plays so much that they get frustrated, that's when you know there's something wrong. I think he realizes he's in over his head. And then when he went to the bench, it looked like he had the plague. Outside of the coach cursing him out, there was no one standing next to him. He was just walking around. He doesn't even look like when they drafted him, he was supposed to be this big, quick package, 6'5", 290. He doesn't even look like that. He doesn't look like any of that stuff, So I'm with most of the people that says, look, I tried to tell folks, man. I told as many people as I could, and I think everyone who was at training camp told the fans, man, it ain't what you think it is with him. And the coaches can come out and talk about how much progress he's making and how good he looks and all of that stuff. It's not the case. You saw it last night. This is why most of us was like scratching our head when Caldwell stood up there and told you all that he's making progress. He's not, and he's bad.
Yeah. You know, the great part about, and I know the Miami offensive line isn't anything to write home about, and I really wish that Laremy Tunsil was able to suit up at that left tackle spot. But if just imagine Marcel Darius being in that game instead of Taven Bryant, and just how much better it's even going to be. It's absolutely fearsome. that front four. And as long as they have that type of pressure with that type of coverage on the back end, Ronnie Harrison looked good, by the way. He looks like he's going to make a huge step in year two. And, Miles and Quincy Williams, like you mentioned. But if that defense could be that level special and Nick Foles can just, throw a touchdown or two a game and keep the offense on schedule, that's the most important part. You're going to hear that a lot, on schedule. Then they have a huge chance and opportunity to go a long way. It's funny that this team is 0-3 in preseason and has looked anemic for really a lot of what we've seen so far. But we're still all so excited this morning. Isn't that funny, Wig?
Yeah, we are excited. We're very excited. And a lot of that excitement is with some of the things that you saw on offense. What I'm going to do is dissect it a little bit, hit you with a little bit of reality, tell you now that we've seen it on television and you've all seen it live, some things that shocked me a little bit, some things that surprised me a little bit, and some things that this team has to do to improve moving forward. The big question was Nick Foles coming in. If you had a question about whether or not Foles was legit, you probably didn't get all of those answers last night, and that's to be expected. But we'll talk about his performance, and we'll talk about the performance of the other offensive players when we return for our third and final segment of Locked On Jaguars.
It's a new season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets. Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money down on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you gotta do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. MyBookie is live in-game betting on every NFL game. They got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Now, we have a special offer up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit. Use promo code Locked On to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid.
All right, welcome back to the third segment of Locked On Jaguars. Let's talk about the offense in the Jaguars' 22-7 loss to the Miami Dolphins in the preseason. In terms of what I liked, D.D. Westbrook, you can see that there's a commitment. D.D. Westbrook is the number one guy. D.D. Westbrook is where they're going with the football. D.D. Westbrook got damn near decapitated.
What's Nick doing, throwing that, trying to kill him in preseason? My goodness.
Yeah, and you know, everyone has always known how big of a Minkah Fitzpatrick fan I've been. Minkah lives for hits like that. And he set him up. He set him up pretty good. While I'm on Westbrook, I'm going to talk about Foles and that throw, and not only that one, but a couple of other ones in a few minutes. But D.D. looks like he's ready. And I heard a comment last night that Troy Aikman made on the broadcast where he said that John DeFilippo said D.D. Westbrook is the best route runner he's ever been around. Folks, let me explain something to you. John DeFilippo was around Adam Thielen, who I think is one of the best route runners in the league. John DeFilippo was around Stephon Diggs in Minnesota, who I also think is one of the best route runners in the NFL. For that comment to come out, that means that he sees something very, very special in D.D. Westbrook. And obviously Nick Foles sees something very, very special in D.D. Westbrook as well, because that looks like the guy that's going to be his target. The other guy that looks like he's going to be his target, he dropped his first ball, but he kind of made up for it after that, was Leonard Fournette. Those swing routes where Fournette catches it while he already has a head of steam, as opposed to the routes where he used to catch the ball flat-footed facing the quarterback, this makes a tremendous amount of difference, especially for a guy that ain't trying to wickle. He's trying to run you over. And he punished a couple of guys last night that tried to tackle him. And once Leonard actually got going, really looked good and decisive on some runs up the middle as well. So So happy with Fournette, happy with his progress, looking like he's ready to go. The offensive line, I told you, I'm not the scouting guy when it comes to the offensive line. I just try to judge whether or not you can keep people off the quarterback. They had that one mistake where Foles actually threw a really, really awful ball, and he can't do that stuff. When he tries to throw in the run, I think he gets in trouble. He threw one that probably should have been picked. But after that, he actually threw. I think that might have been the play where he got picked when he was trying to
move. It is. Yeah, Leonard Wester got whipped.
Yeah, and hopefully Leonard Wester won't be in the game when it's time for them to play. But he did actually he made a no-no. It's something that you absolutely cannot and should not do, and he's a veteran, and he has to know better. Let me tell you one thing about Foles that did surprise me last night a little bit. The ball didn't jump off of his hand like I thought it would on TV, the way it appeared to be off jumping off his hand in person. Believe it or not, the pass to Westbrook in the corner for the touchdown, that was actually a great throw. And people will go, how was that a great throw? Look at it in slow motion and the touch where he lofted it and got it over to the point where he knew it would get to where it was supposed to go. It would hit Dede right in the hands with Dede able to still corral a ball and get 2 feet down. He didn't throw it on a rope so that it would be dropped. It was a nice little touch pass while he was moving out to his right that we haven't – Bolt doesn't make that. Bolt kind of aims that ball in the past and maybe puts it in a position where a guy can't come down. He can't come down with it. So good, not great. They're going to need some production from the tight end. Conley caught a nice ball late in the game, so I think they're okay at wide receiver. A little bit concerned about DJ Chark, a little bit concerned that he might not be the guy who needs to be. I'll take Keelan Cole returning punts, even though he got whacked twice. The thing with Keelan Cole returning punts is he got whacked and he didn't drop the ball. DJ Chark has to hold on to that ball. And I'm just not sure with his body type at 6'4", he's the kind of guy you want back there returning kicks, Phil.
He looked good returning kicks last year. But you can't be doing all that in the second preseason. Like, you've seen DJ Chark return the football last year. You know what he can do. Don't put him out there in the second quarter of the preseason game on the kick return. That's why you got Michael Walker and Quadri Henderson and all those guys in camp. That was the only, like, decision from the coaching staff that really frustrated me yesterday. And we have DJ Chark in concussion protocol, and who knows how long he'll be in that. But I think DJ Chark, I'm not so worried about, because I think right when Marquise Lee gets, you know, a clean bill of health and starts, is able to make an impact in the offense again, I think DJ Chark is the one that's really going to take the seat and allow Marquise to come in the game for a large portion of those packages and plays. So, you want to see, but this has always been the thing with DJ Chark. He's always looked good in practice, even as a rookie. But under the lights, when the lights come on Sundays, if he doesn't make a catch right away and get his juices flowing and get a little bit hyped, it can be a long day at the office for him. If he starts off with a drop or a negative play, it lingers in his head, and he just can't seem to shake it. So he needs to get out of that and improve in that regard. I liked what I saw from Foles with the first team offensive line. I thought Cam looked okay. I forgot how much I missed Cam Wig with
it's nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, and him just getting people's faces after the whistle and all that. That's the kind of the nasty and the personality that I think this offensive line room is missing. I mean, that's what we were told we were going to get with Andrew Norwell. And he's a physical player in within the confines of the game, but I want some of that, you know, after the whistle stuff that, hey, don't touch my quarterback, get out of my face. And I missed watching Cam Robinson do that with some of his swagger. It's nice to see him back, even though he only played 6 plays. I think as long as this starting offensive line, these five, are able to stay intact, and even if we have to suffer, you know, something at right guard or anything like that, I think AJ can or Will Richardson. Let me ask you, do you think the 2 false starts hurt Will Richardson's case for that right guard starting job?
No, I think he was just anxious. I think the fact that he was out there early means they're going to be committed to him. They're going to probably go ahead and leave him there, and I would too, Because here's the thing. If you get out there in week one and you do it, they can pull you and have very much confidence in the guy that they stick in with AJ Can. You just can't hurt the football team. So I think it was anxiousness. I think he wanted to prove something. I'd rather have false starts than holes, because holes mean that you probably lost technique and you probably didn't do the things that you're supposed to do. Or, as in the case with Taven Bryant, you're having to fight and scratch for every single thing because you're not as good as you need to be. But a false start just means you're a little bit anxious, and false starts means you just probably need to settle down a little bit. So I don't think that hurt him at all. I do like his fight. I like his attitude and his approach.
And his size.
Yes. So he's another big physical guy. So when you look at them across the front, I really, really like the young kid, though, at right tackle.
Pancake Man. City.
Yes, he was. And he's nasty and he's mean. So far, so good for this draft. So far, the best player that they got last year was Ronnie Harrison. So we'll have to. So Ronnie Harrison and Will Richardson appear to be the guys that are saving that 2018 draft at this point for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So moving forward, Minshew was okay. Looked like a backup quarterback. Like I said, he's a backup quarterback that I don't necessarily want to see during the regular season if they need him for a game or two.
But you know what, Wig?
And that throw at the end of the half, though, that's the kind of stuff you can't do. This ain't Washington State.
No, for sure. But you know what? He does do a good job for a six-round rookie to keep things on schedule. And for the most part, he won't take really awful, 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 awful plays, you know?
No, they have a really good backup for the next 4 years is what they'll have. I more or less speak to this year and the things that he'll see this year. I really like the kid on the team. I still think I would have went out and got Luke McCown to get us through a game or two. That's all I say about that. It's not like I'm knocking him, but for the people that think, okay, if our starting quarterback goes down, this guy can handle it, you're bugging.
I don't think Josh would have came here, though. I don't think Josh McCown would have came here. He said he was only going to come out of retirement for like one or two teams if they called.
Right. Well, I hope the Jaguars get to the point where they start to be one of those two teams, because with their defense and with the way that they're set up, I think that they're primed to really, really contend. Bottom line is, if you're a Jaguar fan, you ought to be happy about what you saw last night. I just wouldn't go overboard with it. I still think they should sign Yannick Ngakoue immediately. But cutdowns are starting to be a little bit more clear. The only thing is, Taven Bryant is going to probably take a roster spot from somebody that really deserves it. And another team is going to get a good football player because the Jaguars are committed to him. But outside of that, man, everything's good. This is the last show we'll do for this week, and we'll take a look at everything Monday and come back. Next time we do a show, it's going to be the show is going to be game week. It's going to be last cuts. It's going to be last cuts, game week for the last preseason game. You're going to see if there's any moves that are made. So next week is very, very important for us, because then after that, it'll be cut down day on Sunday, and we may even do a Sunday edition of the show. I don't know, but it'll be cut down day on a Sunday, and then we'll be looking at the Kansas City Chiefs in a little bit more than 2 weeks from now. So get ready for that. But for Phillip Proulx and Tony Wiggins, we're going to sign off today. This is Locked On Jaguars Friday edition. Thank you very much.